Thank you so much. So here we are, Worldwide Live through VBS Radio Online. It is today, Monday, March the 6th, 2017. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Paradise, California. And we wait for our host, Winfrey, to be here shortly. Well, actually, we're on early in about 4 minutes. So again, thank you for being here. We do this as usual with a simulcast with a conference call, and we had a few people join in here in the last minute. Thank you so much for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Dharmananda, Boulder Creek.
Dharmananda, welcome back. How are you?
Good. You?
All right.
Hi, Cleo Bibas from Connecticut. How are you?
Hello, Cleo. Good evening to you and welcome.
Thank you.
You know the benefits of hydrogenated water.
Say that again, Dharmananda.
You ever heard of the benefits of hydrogenated water, where you put hydrogen in the water?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's a very powerful antioxidant. It kills cancer and rehydrates your body and everything.
All right.
Yeah, you can get tablets you put in the water to do that, or you can buy a pitcher that makes hydrogen in the water, too. So you can drink every day.
Hmm.
I'm getting the tablets right now to see how they work.
You are? All right, right.
Yeah.
And so you can get it all over the internet?
Yeah, different places, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazon has the tablets and the machines, you know, and they're not that much machine, so. You
know. All right.
And they've got one other one that... almost $400. You can breathe the hydrogen from that machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you just want to breathe it, you can do that too.
So, and you have it for a while?
I haven't gotten the machine, no. I didn't get the machine.
Okay.
I just want to try the tablets first.
Yes, all right.
Better than doing ozone water.
What's that?
It's better than doing ozone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Rehydration and everything kills cancer and all kinds of things. And,
mm-hmm.
Good for arthritis and all kinds of stuff. Pain, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it strengthens the blood-brain barrier and everything to protect you against, dangerous chemicals and things like that. Heavy metals or whatever.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Yes. Hi. This is Pat Silva.
Hello, Pat Silva. Welcome to the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Related to Dr. Silva?
What?
I'm asking Pat.
My ex-husband is a Dr. Silva.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
He hasn't been dialing in or anything, has he?
No. But there is a Dr. Silva from in the 70s or so, I believe, from Arizona, who did some alternative healing and stuff.
Oh, no. That would be... I'm sorry. I don't know what's with my phone here.
All right. This might be your husband.
No. No, it's not.
Calling in.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. We had somebody else join in. Good evening to you. Welcome to the call.
John from Las Vegas.
Hello, John. Welcome.
Well, hi.
All right. Hey, good to have you, Pat.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, where are you located, Pat?
Well, I'm in Jackson, which is a little bit...
Hello? Yeah, your phone was clicking again, but you're from Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Yes, all right. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. How are you, everybody?
Good evening to you, Don. Welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Terry in Dallas.
Hello, Teddy. Welcome back.
Hi. It's good to hear your voice.
All right. Equally with you. And somebody else joined in. We welcome you. Please say a name or location.
Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Good evening to you and welcome.
Good evening, everybody.
Anyone I miss? No, I guess we have them all. All right. And in the meantime, we have a past the clock of 6, and we wait for Wynn to show up. And I haven't seen an announcement email, so I don't know what the topic is tonight. We will find out. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name by location.
Hi, it's Deb in Oregon.
Hello, Deb. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name by location.
Hi, it's Michelle in Cambria.
Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the call.
Hello. Thanks.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name by location.
Hey, Rick. Hi, with Cindy.
Welcome to the call, Rick.
Hi.
Thank you. And somebody else joined in. Welcome to you. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Helen, New Virginia.
Hello, Helen. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being there.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
And I welcome all those that are joining in and listening in here with us through BBS Radio Online. Thank you for participating. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Good evening. Good evening, Heiss. It's Eric in Santa Fe.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Wynn, I believe you to be here with us.
I am.
All right. I'm glad to hear your voice. I thought maybe we have a hang-up.
Uh-huh.
Well, good to have you, Wynn.
Well, thank you. Are we ready?
Yes. So I'm good.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is March 6, 2017. Wynn in Sedona, and I think Terry is sleeping. So I'm going to let her sleep. And one of the most amazing series that we've done on Monday nights ended up being called How the Elohim Created the Universe. And I didn't know it was going to become a series. In fact, when we first did it, I had gotten confident enough to tackle really, how shall we say it, amazing subjects. And I had no idea what they would say. I didn't know where it was going to go. And so in January of 2010, okay, doesn't matter the date, but exactly January 4th, 2010, came up with the topic, How the Elohim Created the Universe, because they said they did, and that's what I'm going to play tonight. If you go to the Spirit Channel under Topics, we have the whole, it's about 20 calls on this topic, and I would say, informationally, it is one of the most incredible things, and this information, this understanding of the creation of the universe, as far as I know, has never been in this realm, at least in its current epoch, because the realm has gone through changes where at different times all life was wiped out, I believe, and then came back. But I'm let me see, what do we, it's going to be 49 minutes, 49, and I think we have about the right amount of time, and here, just a second. Okay. Also, just mentioning, I'm going to try something very experimental on tonight's Whole Planet Healing. And I urge you to tune into it after this call at 7 Pacific. Okay? It's an experiment. We'll see what happens.
So this is our Monday conference call. And welcome everybody who's listening on the conference call, on BBS, and on the replay line. My name is Wynn Free, and we went public. And I think Terry's still on the line. Are you on the line, Terry?
Yes, I am.
And are you in McDonald's?
No, I'm in a parking spot on the street in Santa Monica.
You are. Does it feel safe and secure there?
Yeah, it feels really safe here.
Now, some of you may wonder why Terry's in a parking spot in Santa Monica. And, you know, really, there's a preposterousness to this because, you know, the source that talks to us identifies itself as a conglomerate group soul that's in another dimension and that was here before there was a physical realm, okay? That actually was responsible for the creation of the physical realm. Now, of course, you who have read the Bible, what does the Bible say? Let there be light and the firmament and the stuff across the land. And maybe that was a quick explanation for people that couldn't understand the real explanation. Not we will, because we still don't understand it, but they've been talking to us about it. And it's kind of interesting to even hear them talk because I mean, are we really talking to the source that created this realm? You know, I can't prove that. Neither can you. Neither can they. All they can do, we can evaluate them by the veracity, which means the way their answers hold together. And, you know, if we always approach it that way, we don't have to worry about negative sources. We don't have to worry about being blind followers. We just go with each moment, and when things connect, either we'll feel the energy or they'll say something that we can apply to our life, and something will apply it, and something will shift. I think those are the best tests of anything, rather than just saying, oh, Wynn says he's talking to the creator of this realm, so I better listen to everything they say, because I don't want to miss any of this, because I may have something good I can repeat. You know, when I was younger, I remember myself, I'm just as bad as everybody else. I would hear somebody that was very wise, and they would be talking, and I'd listen to what they said, and then the next day I'd be repeating it to my friends, and I didn't say, oh, so-and-so said this. It sounded like I made it up. So for a moment, you get a little bit of attention. But are you ready, Terry? What we do to start this is we call in the light, and calling in the light is a formalized way of doing something that we do many on this line naturally, and it's about creating a group energy. What I've learned is that when you bring these energies in from really high places, you are moving through an uncharted part of the universe, and we're opening ourselves up to an uncharted part of the universe. So calling in the light is creating protection. It's creating a protected field so that negative influences don't get to us, and also that we connect to a positive source. And again, this is something that I have been working with for quite some time, years now, and it works. And it works because I have the intention for it to work. And I've learned that intention is the most powerful tool that a human has in terms of expanding and growing. Because what you truly intend, you will bring about. So I've developed a strong enough intention to call in protection, to bring energies together. And as long as I'm not violating anyone's free will, and that includes yours and our sources, as long as it's within, say, the goals of all of you to experience this, then that intention seems to work. And if somebody's on the line that says, I'm not sure I want this to happen, it won't work for you. You can just listen with your mind and decide if it feels safe. And that's a good approach because, as I said, your mind is your first line of scrutiny. And so it's good. Some people intuitively go click, 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 and they react to it immediately and say, yes, right on. But many people should be careful how they approach this, so that they make sure when they open their energies up, just like in a romance, there's a courtship, and you don't really open up to another person until you got to know them, and that's what a courtship is for. So there's a place for a courtship in this work we're doing also. So just be patient with me and yourself and see if it resonates. So I'm going to call in the light, and then we're going to continue our discussion on with the sources that identify themselves as Ra'an, which I assume that's who will come in, who is a combination of two group souls, and that seem to be able to speak to us through Terry, mainly because of the work I did in studying and experiencing first the Ra group through writing my book, and then the Elohim channelings I had where I spoke to the Elohim. And we're going to call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a blending of our energies, braiding of our energies, all the time maintaining the individual integrity of our own soul essence. And we invite those sources who are positive, service to others, operating in the law of one, to join with us to create a protected space that only positive can access. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have a source present?
Yes. We create you in the love light of one infinite creator. This January 4th, 2010, focused with in Santa Monica, California, and also focus, we feel the lesser people on the line than, for instance, at the Grid Healing. So we focus and offer the focus to the six people on the line and the few people on the VBS radio line. We also experience the rather wooden automatic feeling that comes with the broadcast.
I wanted to mention that I want to clarify something. Excuse me for interrupting. But, you know, on our mass mailings, I've been mainly telling people to listen to BBS as opposed to coming on the phone line. So our listenership on BBS has been going up quite a bit. And that's the reason we have so many, few people on the phone line directly. But I know that there's a number of people listening to us on BBS. And should I encourage more people to come in on the phone line as well? Is that a better connection for you?
Well, give us a minute to work with this as the connection with both through filters through the BBS connection and is somewhat wooden, and we need a different flow of connection to the audience. And now we are picking up the audience. It is on the other side of the rather wooden automatic generated signal. But we experience those people outside of, on the other side of the radio signal. At this time, we greet each and every one of you and are delighted to have you with us at this time. Do you have questions?
You know, we had a discussion last week about how the universe was created. And as I recall, there was originally energy beings. That's my best way of describing the way that I understood it, that were able to shoot frequencies of some sort, and I'm not sure what frequencies looked like before there was a physical world. Frequencies are fields that would coalesce in nodes, and the nodes would solidify into something physical. That was my memory of trying to understand what was said. Is that a accurate, close repeating of what you said?
It is a bringing together of all the things we said and putting them into the same unit of our experience. However, there was a timeline before this wherein we experienced nothingness as we before the beginning. Then there became a separation without much vibration, but a separation of feeling and sensation, which further encouraged that unit that which was not a unit at the time, but eventually became a unit, that section of all that is to begin to wave or vibrate and begin to close space around itself, walling off itself, and as space was created and came together, it resounded so solidly and began the all that is manifestation of the physical universe with a resounding bang as the space that was created met the space that also was created as it folded over itself.
In the physical universe, is there a location that represented this first beginning?
Yes, we see a nebulae, a horseshoe nebulae of matter. It was precursor to gases. It was vibration to, at the start, not forming gases at the start, merely my vibration. The vibration then, as the space was created and met itself folding over and started a vibration moving throughout the disruption, the walled off portion experienced some frustration and it was separated out and has since been trying to get back to itself. There is a loss in the falling off process, and as the intelligence then seeks to be connected in the ways it was connected before the beginning.
Now, when this was first happening, were you surprised at what was occurring? Was it like, wow, we did this and look there. There's something that wasn't there before? Was that?
We are describing before our existence.
This was before your existence.
Yes, as we formed out of this.
I see. And that includes the Elohim. Who was then the intelligence that was projecting these vibrations? Is there any name that is identified historically would connect with that?
Mm-hmm. Wicked, but the name Yahweh has had different owners.
And so the Elohim came out of this original projection of energies.
Correct.
And then the Elohim... the Elohim then continued this creation project?
Within the birth of the Elohim entities, they then began to work with the matter that was available and to create spinning vortexes in the light and happiness at the experience and sensation of projecting matter and thus the experience and sensation of pressure giving the beginning of identity to the spun out beings.
Mm-hmm. But then, at some point, there was vibrations, then there was gas, and then there were physical objects, or physical objects like planets, I would imagine, or suns.
Planets and the galaxies were the result of condensation of material manifesting within and as a result of the spinning projections.
Now, how about life forms? Where does a life form come in this creative
life process? Is everywhere. Life can occur in non-carbon material. Life is the building block of all that is and is an intelligence that pervades all before and after the beginning. However, before the beginning, there was nothing to observe as all was one, and after the beginning, then effects could be observed.
Was the first life form that was physicalized a plant, an amoeba?
That is complex already. It was primordial. It was a vibration that was learning to control its own form.
Initially, the life forms were fairly simple then, that were not... And at some point, the life form became rather complex, as a human would be an example of. Is there any...
Yes, as the forms became more physicalized and entities began to project them as one would project a playmate, a doll, a companion, and imbue it with life.
And then at some point, Now, I'm asking this question. I'm trying to understand it. At some point, the energy forms that were projecting this actually came into it, occupied the life forms. Is that a way of understanding it? Is that true?
That is correct. Originally, the life forms had the complex energies of the intelligence that was manifesting in the life forms, and then the more powerful entities began to come in and manipulate the life form as if it was a puppet and could be manipulated, and then they became owners of the life form and operated it from inside the form rather than from outside.
And at that point, they lost their connection with having been the creator at some point? I mean, did they get trapped in the life form immediately? Or did that happen over millenniums?
This happened over time in that as they were focused within the life form, they began to see everything through the eyes of the life form and to take on that viewpoint and forget about their multi-dimensional viewpoint and abilities.
So, those of us that are listening right now could very well be those forms of energy that took on life forms, forgot that they were in the life forms, and then ended up in our world as it is today.
Yes, here you are.
We are.
To all of them, you.
Us. Well.
Yes, except not us, because we are outside of it.
So you never came into life forms. And
right.
So once you come into a life form, it's very hard to get out of it and go back.
It is not hard. It takes a few lifetimes to get impacted. And in the impact, as one experiences life within the third density, the impacts refocus and reset the individuals and her abilities within the third density. And then with these impacts or injuries or pressures, then we are soundly within the third dimension vehicle.
Now, if we were talking about human years and the way time is measured in third dimension,
about human years, you say?
Human years, time in 3D, time as we measure it. How many years ago, if that can be figured out from you, this initial first thing happened before there was anything, and then it started?
In the billions. We were coming in the billions of years ago. If we were in Earth years,
now,
I would imagine there was a certain amount of since this had never been done before when it was started, I assume it hadn't been done before. Or if it had, maybe you could share that. A universe being created, was there an element of experimentalness about it from the original creative forces?
There was not the perspective to start to give an experimental viewpoint. For experiment, one needs several or multiple viewpoints to compare and inspect. But in the beginning, it was just joy.
Mm-hmm.
Forth manifesting love light.
Not an idea of what was going to become of it all, just the joy of creation of it.
That's correct.
And from your perspective now, when you look at what's become of it all, what's your viewpoint?
At times we become discouraged in that was never the intention to send beings into isolation and aloneness and disconnection and hopelessness. We are saddened that this has become manifest. We are available to send a rescue squad, if one could be sent, to dig the individuals out who have gotten so trapped.
Well, the fact that we're in communication with you and all this, and all the work we're doing, in essence, does give an opportunity for, if people could actually connect with these original energies and expand their multidimensional self into this space, would that not allow someone that's in a physical body to recreate or give more opportunities for the upliftment of this realm? Does that make sense?
The individuals have gotten disconnected from love light, and individuals within the life experience often do not get enough love light or feel enough loved. Would this be able to be brought into your realm so that individuals, as they go through the birth process and are raised, would experience love from their parents and their surroundings, then would make Earth a paradise?
We had a question. I had asked some people for questions, and there was a question that came in that actually the answer to it is covered in a lot of our materials, and it had to do with the idea that there was a graduation, that we're at the end of a cycle, and that there was going to be a separation of souls, those that graduated into, this is probably a complex answer, but in simple, to a higher dimensional Earth that did have a loving frequency attached to it, and that those that didn't graduate would, the question was, where would they go? And of course, in the material that we've covered through the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and also through many of my earlier questions, that there was another planet in some other star system that was being formed or created for cycle repeaters to go to, and where they would go through another long series of incarnations with another opportunity to graduate. So I'll ask that question. That was my answer, and you can give the current. Pardon me?
We have the question. The answer is that Earth, this is a scientific answer, a physics answer, as Earth moves into a higher frequency of existence, only those individuals who are open to love, give and receive love, which is a higher frequency, are able to withstand the higher frequency Earth is moving into. Other individuals are not able, because of their fixed nature and their glomming onto lower frequencies or more growth frequencies, are not able to track with a higher energy. Therefore, those individuals, as you see them now, perhaps the more sensitive ones, are beginning to have breakdowns, which can be good, mental breakdowns, which...
Okay, do you remember anything that was said after that?
I don't know, but I thought it was beautiful, and I think it got recorded right up until the end.
Yeah, well, it did get recorded on BBS. It's on the telephone line, so I'll have to download the BBS call and use that as the reference that I send out to people.
Yes. Okay. I'm out of it now. I'm not in the channel. I'm out of it. It's still hanging around me.
Okay, everyone.
I thought they said it really well.
Everyone's listening now. Are you guys there?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
So, don't say anything bad about everybody. But, okay. Well, it was. I think that people understood, somehow got into the flow of grasping it a little better than they did last week. And kind of trying to narrow it down so you can grasp this, which I'm not sure a human is going to grasp anyway in totality ever. But at least trying to figure it out in human terms, like, okay, there's a body, there's a gas, you know, that's what we know down here. How did that all work? And I thought it was very interesting.
And did they say that, so the Elohim was not created until physicality was here?
They seem to say that the Elohim, well, you know, the way that I looked at it is, you know, myself, is that the Elohim was the beginning break-off from oneness, okay? They seem to be saying that the Elohim was... There was... we could ask that some more. The Elohim was... There wasn't necessarily a physical realm, but it was original energies that were flashing vibrations around, or frequencies, that somehow became the Elohim. But they seemed to indicate that it wasn't, that was not after the physical realm was created. Then it seemed, the way I understood it, is the Elohim participated in the creation of the physical realm. Is that what you heard?
That's correct.
In other words, there was originally oneness and nothing, and then it became aware of itself, and it was lonely, and then somehow there was this beginning play of frequencies that at that early beginning was the Elohim that continued the expansion of this frequency stuff. That's that ended up in the physical realm. Is that what you heard, Terry? Something like that? Do you remember?
Getting a telephone call and it interrupted my flow of thought. I think, you know, they said it pretty clearly that, at the start, there wasn't Waltham. At the start, nothing was Waltham. But there was just oneness. And then there was a folding over of space, and it created a bang when the space intersected itself. It created a bang vibration that vibrated everything that was there to vibrate, and then started moving outward. And
now I wonder if that was correlating to the Big Bang theory of physics.
Yeah, I took it that it was. And there was more than one. Well, now I'm reading in, but there was some question of there being more than one bang.
Mm-hmm.
And went out and Mike, not call. Hold on. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Great. Well, let me stop the recording because I think it's still going. Hello?
Hello?
Who had a Siri?
I have a Siri. Yes, I'm driving at the moment. But I have a theory, and it just came to me while I was listening to you, and so I'm going to say it. It really depends upon whether you're looking at it from an ascension or a descension place, and there are descension schools out there. It doesn't mean anything bad. It just means you're looking at it from the other direction. So say you're the infinite creator, and you're all that is. And if you're all that is, you can't really go any higher in frequency because you're all that is. So the only way you can go is maybe a lower frequency. And when the infinite creator became a low enough frequency to no longer be the infinite creator, he became something else, or she became something else. And maybe that was the Elohim, or maybe there was another step down in the middle. Who knows? That's just something that came to me. I thought it might be a topic for discussion while we're waiting for Terry to come back. And so what do you think?
Well, we're not going... That was a recording, you know.
Did you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm driving, and it's sometimes my Bluetooth cut.
That was a recording. So, Terry's not coming back.
Well,
that was a recording.
I had a feeling. I said I could say something, or I could make a fool out of myself. Okay, I've done both. How about that? Hey, okay.
But
thank you. Bye.
So that's Michael Adler, right?
Yes.
Just making sure. Recognize your voice.
Okay.
I mean, we had. That was the beginning of a whole series of calls, and I'm not talking to Michael now, I'm just talking to the group. And, I mean, you could take it or leave it, if it's true. But, you know, it kind of makes sense in the congruity of their information over time. So that was in 2010, and that was the first time I ever broached that subject. But I went on, and we had, like, at least 20 more calls
we'll probably do some more, going into a lot of the fine points of the creation as it unfolded. And intuitively, it makes sense to me. And, you know, whether you're in a high, I think sometimes we think when we're in a higher dimension, we're exalted or better off or something. I'm not sure that's necessarily true. I think the one infinite creator, as they refer to the first awareness, was not walking around saying, oh, I'm in the eighth dimension. There was no dimension. There was only awareness. And that why should that awareness exist? It gets lonely. It gets just itself. And then it finds out that it can divide itself, like an amoeba, not the best analogy, but it can divide its energy and give each separate division its own self-will and its own ability to have its own direction. Because if it was just, a slave of the one infinite creator, then it would be boring. So now you have a piece of energy, another awareness that has its own direction, its own creative abilities. Now you have a bunch of those. And they're not thinking, oh, we're really high. They're just thinking, where do we go now and what do we do now? And initially, there was no perseverance. Everything was in the moment. And so the goal, perhaps, was to create perseverance, to create something that would stick and be ongoing and persevere. In other words, like if you build a house, the house would stay up. And instead of having to build it and then take your attention off of it and look back at it, there's no house. So it was a long, long, long process. And we've gone into a lot of detail on it, how the negative got created, how humankind got screwed up, how service to self evolved out of that. But there was an unawareness of what would happen. It was just creation. And at another point, and this is interesting, to me it's interesting, it was indicated that Terry was part of the group prior, the original Elohim group. And she came in to, you know, she spent time in an in-between group, because what happened was that people were getting so screwed up in this realm, and when they would die, there was a group that would help rehabilitate them, help heal them, and sometimes that particular area where that was going on is referred to as heaven. But it was really kind of a rehabilitation place for people or beings that got stuck in this realm and needed some rehabilitation of their traumas before they would come back again. And then Terry became curious as to how it worked down here and what was going on. And then she got caught up in her own cycle of reincarnation and forgetting where she came from. And the work we're doing has reminded Terry to connect with her original creation all the way back through the timelines. And so, as you can see, we are all discovering it. And the groups we've been doing, you guys, have been part of our discovery process. And for them, I don't think this has ever been in this realm before, this understanding of the long track. So we are really, it's really amazing that we as a group find ourselves in the position of learning all of this. And I don't see how they could make it up, and I don't see, if they were a negative source, what they would get out of explaining all of that. Usually negative sources have agendas. And those were all the questions I was asking myself as we were going. And it's time to do whole planet healing. I'm sorry we lost the last few minutes there. I didn't preview this, and I didn't know it was going to drop out. And thank you all for being here. And I'm going to do something really unusual in whole planet healing tonight. So if you've never been to it, or even if you have, please come tonight, and we'll see what happens. And on that note, I'm stopping the recording.
Your conference recording has stopped.